right, so we are in Genesis chapter 11 to start. We did the first 9 verses last time. And so we've been talking about the post-flood tribes that came from the 3 sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we went through their families, their tribes in chapter 10. And then in chapter 11, we saw what happened with Babel or Babel, where the children of men all got together in one place. And in the land of Shinar, which is here on your map, or on my map here. And they decided to rebel against what the Lord had wanted, which was for them to spread out into their own lands, where he had before determined the bounds of their habitation. And they were supposed to spread out and seek the Lord. Instead, they said, let's all gather together, let's build a city and a tower, and let's make ourselves a name to basically replace the name of God. And whereas in time past, and back in Genesis 4 at the end there, you saw that men began to call upon the name of the Lord, here they were replacing that name with another name, and they were calling on false gods. And from that point, right here, Babel, this false religion started to spread from that area, and we can actually see that in the scriptures that we're going to look at today. So what we're going to do, we're going to read from verse 10 all the way to verse 5 of chapter 12, and we're going to mostly focus on the end of this chapter and the beginning of chapter 12. So chapter 11, verse 10, it says, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 35 years and begat Selah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 32 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So we're going to stop there for a second and just briefly talk about this passage that we just read. It's mostly names. It's mostly just a record of the genealogy from Shem through Arphaxad and eventually up to this man named Abram. There's really not a lot that I can teach out of this passage, but I will just mention just a few of these guys. So first of all, in verse 10, it says, Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So that just, if you still have this chart that I made a while ago, the one with really teeny tiny type on it that you can barely read, it kind of lines up all the dates of these guys' births and shows when they were born, when their first child was born, and so forth through this genealogy here. You might notice some interesting things on there. Like I just read, Shem begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Arphaxad is the son through whom eventually Abram would come, as you see in this genealogy. But he was begotten 2 years after the flood, and all those dates line up. And it's that statement there, because actually it doesn't tell you exactly what year Shem was born. It says Noah was 500 years and begat these three sons. It doesn't tell you exactly when Shem was born. But this statement right here allows us to pick up the genealogy and the years, the order of the years after what happened with the flood. So you could trace the time up until the flood, but then this statement allows you to pinpoint exactly when Arphaxad was born and then pick it up from there. Verse 14, I think we mentioned this last time, but it says, Selah lived 30 years, begat Eber. Eber is the man from whom the Hebrews came. Hebrew comes from Eber. I think in the New Testament, in the genealogy in Luke, he's referred to as Heber. And then this other guy, his son, Peleg, and we mentioned last time that his name means division, because the Bible says in chapter 10, for in his days was the earth divided, okay? Now, usually in the Bible, a certain event would happen and a child would be born around the same time. And so they would name the child after this event or after something that had just happened. I think about when the Ark of the Covenant was carried away by the Philistines, there was a child that was named after what had basically just happened. And there's other examples as well. But I think that the earth was divided, that would probably be Babel, what it's talking about, because that's what's in the context here, that the earth was divided, and then this guy Peleg was born right after that, once the earth had been divided, and that's why they called him that. They wouldn't have called him that, and then the earth was divided. That wouldn't make any sense, okay? It probably happened, and then he was born right after that, so he was given that name. So that's pretty much all I'm going to mention from this list of names. And that whole section there, like it says in verse 10, these are the generations of Shem. Now we're going to focus on this one guy that we ended with, Terah. In verse 27, it says, now these are the generations of Terah. Again, when it says these are the generations of, it basically means we're going to refocus the story on this one guy and what came out of him. Basically, his children. What happened with the children that were generated from him. Okay, verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Okay, so let's talk about this. So Says verse 27, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram. Abram is the man, if you've read through Genesis before, you'll know that Abram is the man who's later going to be called Abraham. He's a very significant figure in the Bible and in all of history. Okay, he's, I would say, probably after Jesus Christ himself, Abraham is probably the most significant figure in world history. In terms of the tribes that came from him, the very genealogy of Jesus Christ comes from Abraham. At the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, it says, is Matthew or Mark? It says, I think it's Matthew. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Very significant, like that Jesus came from the seed of Abraham. And you can see just this enormous promise that's given to Abram at the beginning of chapter 12. So Abram is this very significant figure. But it starts off with Terah, his father, and it tells you a little bit about him, that he had these three children, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And then it says, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So we're just going to look at the map real quick here. So there's this land called Mesopotamia between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. So this slice of land here is called Mesopotamia. And in that land, there's a city called Ur. And the Bible's telling you who lived there? The Chaldees. Okay? The Chaldees are later known in the Bible as the Chaldeans, who would set up the second Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. But this city here, Ur of the Chaldees, this is where Terah was from. This is where he lived. That was his home country. Okay? It says, Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity. That means that's where he was born. So Haran was born here in Ur of the Chaldees, and it's pretty likely that Terah's other children were born there too as well. That's where they were from. So you see that they end up moving out of Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, verse 31, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So they're going to this place called Haran. Well, one of Terah's sons is called Haran, the one that just died. What are the odds it would have the exact same name? Okay, so we're going to try and put this puzzle together a little bit. Some of this is conjecture on my part. It's just kind of my best guess from the clues that I see in the scriptures. But one thing you'll notice about Haran is that it says he died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. So Haran died before his father. And if you look at the ages that it gives, it says verse 27, it keeps listing Abram as the first of these three children. That might make you think Abram is the oldest, but that's probably not the case. Here's why. It says, verse 26, Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Okay? He lived 70 years and then begat them. Terah died in Haran when he was 205. Abram left Haran after his father died when Abram was 75. If you compare those years, that would mean Abram had to be at least 130. Terah had to be at least 130 when he begat Abram. There's no other way that could happen. Okay? So as far as the order given here in verses 26 and 27, that is not the order of their births. Because he lived 70 years and then he started begetting children. Abram wasn't the first one. He did not beget Abram when he was 70. Okay? He had to be at least 130. Okay. So, what do I think happened here is that this family is living in Ur of the Chaldees, and you have this one son, Haran, okay? What I think happened was that he moved out of there and settled this land, which is called Haran. If you look at a map, it's still there today. It's got quite a history, actually. Might talk about that a little bit later. But I think he moved out from his family and settled this land, Haran, and that's why it's called after his name. Then, like we just read, he died before his father. That's kind of unusual for a child to die before the parent. It suggests something went wrong. Either he got killed by someone else, which I don't believe happened because it just says he died. It doesn't say he was killed. Or he probably got sick and fell ill and died before his time, basically. That's what I think happened. So I think it's possible that Haran moved out from here, settled this land Haran, and then he got ill, went back home to be with his family, and died there in the land of his nativity. Okay? After that, I think that they moved out of there. It says, Terah took Abram and went to Haran. Why? Why would they suddenly move out of here and go up there? Well, chapter 12 says this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay? I want to point out something about this verse. It says, now the Lord had said. That means that what God said here, he's not saying in chapter 12, really, if you're looking at 12 is coming after 11. He's saying God had said this already in the past. Okay? Let's go. There's a couple of chapters that will give some more clues about this. One is Joshua 24. The other is Acts 7. Let's turn to Acts 7 first. Acts chapter 7. This is when Stephen is preaching to the high priest and those around him. Acts chapter 7. And starting in verse 2, he starts to give them a little bit of a history lesson here. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed into this land wherein ye now dwell. Okay? So we're getting some more details here. And now it starts to make sense why it says in chapter 12, God had said unto him. This is something that happened before. So although Terah takes Abram and they move from Ur to Haran, at the end of chapter 11, now we get to chapter 12 and it's talking about something God said to him before they moved. This is while they're still in Mesopotamia in Ur of the Chaldees that God says to him, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your kindred and go into a land that I will show thee. That's also something interesting. So he tells them to leave, so they leave. Well, where does God tell them to go? He doesn't tell them yet. He just says, leave. And honestly, sometimes in life, the first step toward doing what God wants you to do is to leave what he tells you to leave. Right. See, this place where he lived, you can see how close Ur of the Chaldees was to Babel. Okay, Babel is like the center of this false religion and these false gods that we talked about last time. Remember, they built the tower? And what were they doing at the top of this tower? Is they're calling out to these false gods. It was probably something like the priests of Baal did later on, you know, when they were cutting themselves and they're like, oh, Baal, hear us. That's probably what they're doing at the top of this tower, calling on Bel, their false god, as we talked about. So that's in Babel, and this thing is already spreading to the neighboring regions, and Ur is like right next door. Okay, let's look at Joshua chapter 24. And also Hebrews we're going to look at. So Joshua 24. And we're going to read verses 2 and 3. And it says, and Joshua said unto all the people, these are the people of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. When he says the flood here, he's not talking about the flood of Noah. He's talking about the river Euphrates, which is here. What is a flood? Well, it's a lot of water, okay? That happened in Noah's time. There was a global flood, but right now he's talking about the river Euphrates. And at this time, this is in Joshua. They're in the land of Canaan over here. They had just come from Egypt. And Joshua's saying to them, in time past, your fathers, they dwelt on the other side of this flood, which is Euphrates, over here. And that's where Ur was. It was like right here on this river. But that's where they came from, this way. And what does he say here? Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Which father is he talking about? Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And what did they do there in Ur of the Chaldees? It says they served other gods. That was something that had just started at Babel. And here we are a couple hundred years later. And that's what they're doing here too. They're serving other gods. A little bit later on, you can see this area here is called Syria, and that's from Aram. He is one of the other sons of Shem. Later on, this land, which eventually becomes Syria, it's called in Genesis Padan Aram, which means the field of Aram, and that's Syria. That's where Laban lived, and it calls him Laban the Syrian. But we're going to see when we get to that story, guess what Laban had? He had a bunch of images. He had his own gods. So you could see how this whole thing about false gods was just spreading all over the place. And then let's look at one verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the last time maybe a month ago, we read about Noah in verse 7 here. And now we're in verse 8, looking at the next significant figure, and that's Abraham. And it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. Amen. Amen. He obeyed by faith. Yep. And he went out, yep, not knowing whither he went. So again, the first step that God was telling him to make was just to get out. He didn't even tell him where to go yet. He just said, get out. Yep. So that's what Abraham did, or Abram did. And what's interesting, though, I'm still trying to understand this, but it says in chapter 11, verse 31, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So it looks like Terah was still the one in charge, and he's bringing his family with him. I don't know how that happened, that God appeared to Abram and told him to leave, but then you see Terah, his father, taking Abram. And it says their intention was to go to the land of Canaan, okay? That is eventually where Abram ended up. But actually what happened is that they left Ur and they went up here to Haran, okay? Which again was probably property that was owned by Abram's brother. So my guess is that Haran came back here, he died, and then his family is like, well, he owns some property up here. God told us to leave. Let's go there. We have something up there. And when they get there, it talks about this a little bit in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, Lot's his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. So this is after Abram's father dies in Haran. And then they take all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Looks like they picked up some stuff here. Okay? The substance they had gathered, that might have been what belonged to his brother before he died. And also the souls that they gathered in Haran. I don't know. It could be that Abram was a preacher of righteousness and a preacher of the true God, and he was preaching in this pagan area. By the way, I mentioned something about the history of Haran. What this city was significant for historically, even up until the 11th century AD, was worship of the moon god Sin. Very interesting. For many reasons. But this is another place where they were worshiping false gods. Okay, they were worshiping the host of heaven. So I don't know if Abram was preaching here and won some people to the Lord and they started following him, and that's the souls that they had gotten in Haran. That's a possibility. Okay, we read once Abram left here, he had a great household. There were a lot of people following him. So much that in a couple chapters, he's actually able to raise an army of his trained servants, over 300 men, and arm them. And we'll talk about that later. But another possibility, so that's one possibility, that he was a preacher and he was winning people to the Lord and they started to follow him. Another possibility is just that Haran had a bunch of servants there that were there keeping up his property. And then once Abram went there, he kind of inherited them, and then they became his servants. So that's just another possibility. I don't know which way it was, but I just wanted to mention that. So Abram leaves. He doesn't know where he's going yet, but it says Terah takes Abram and Lot toward Canaan. So they're coming from here to here. And then eventually when Haran dies, they come down here to Canaan. Let's see how much time we got left. Yeah, we got some time. Okay, so let's take a look at what God says to Abram here at the beginning of chapter 12. So again, this is while Abram is still in Mesopotamia, still in Ur of the Chaldees, according to Acts chapter 7. And it says, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And again, that was the first step, to get out from his kindred and from his father's house. What this kind of reminds me of, and I didn't have this written down, but it reminds me of something in Psalm 45. Let's turn there. And in Psalm 45, it's a very messianic psalm. This is in verse 6, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And we know from Hebrews chapter 1, he's talking to the Son of God and calling him God. So the king here that he's talking about in Psalm 45 is Christ. He's the Son of God. But then it starts talking about the queen also. And in verse 9, it says, King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Okay, so this is just a picture, you know, when God calls somebody to come to him, you know what you've got to do? You've got to forget your own people and your father's house.
Yeah.
Okay? Jesus said that he came to bring division. He was going to set families and he's going to divide them because the truth of God was going to divide them. Okay? You look at the situation that Abram was in here in Ur of the Chaldees with all these false gods and his own family was serving other gods. Okay? And God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. We talked about this a little bit last time. What's a Jew? What's a Gentile? That a lot of times we say that a Gentile is a non-Jew. But actually, biblically, it's the opposite. A Jew is a non-Gentile. See, all these tribes of the earth, they're just following their own thing. They're following their own gods. They got their own culture. They got their own tradition. And what God says is, no, that stuff is unclean. It's false. It's not true. I'm the true God. And if you're going to follow me, step one, leave that other junk behind. Follow me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want the life, you have to walk in the way of the truth.
Man.
And that's Christ. But you can't hold on. You can't seek the truth and hold on to the lies.
Right.
That's step number one. You got to get out of there. Okay. He doesn't show him the land yet, but he says, you know what? Leave in faith knowing that I'm going to show you the land.
Man.
And eventually you're going to be able to go there. So he leaves. He's obedient. As it said in one of those other passages. And what else he says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So he says, I will make of thee a great nation. Actually, a phrase like that occurs several times in the Bible. And it's basically a reward. Okay, that he'll make of thee a great nation. I think about when the Israelites in the wilderness, they sinned against God, and God's like, you know what, I'm just going to destroy them. And Moses, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, God didn't end up doing that. Okay, Moses, in the spirit of Christ, pleaded and interceded for that people for God to spare them and have mercy on them. But basically, God was saying, Moses, you're just like Noah. You're the righteous one. I'm going to wipe out everybody else, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. That's why God is saying this to Abram. He's looking at the other people there that are following these false gods, and he's saying, you know what? Here's a righteous man. He's the one I'm going to call. I'm going to make him a great nation. God isn't just picking some random heathen pagan guy who's serving false God and say, I'm going to do great things with you. God doesn't do that. He's looking for someone who has a heart toward him. He says later on, and I don't want to get too much off topic, but he talks about that later on, that the reason why he's calling Abram and blessing Abram is because he knows who he is and he knows what he's going to do. He sees the faith that he has. So God tells him to leave. He obeys. He leaves. He goes. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And Abram certainly was blessed in his own life very much. Even materially, he had just a ton of stuff. Most of all, he was blessed by being able to walk and be led, as we just read in Joshua, by the living and true God. That's a huge blessing. That's the greatest blessing of all. And he says, thou shalt, and make thy name great. We already talked about how great the name of Abraham is throughout the world. There's entire nations that did come out of Abraham. And then he says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What is he talking about? Well, what God is doing there is he's preaching the gospel to Abraham. The gospel. The gospel today we know as the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is preaching that same gospel to Abraham back there. Now, it wasn't known as the gospel of Jesus Christ then. It was, you could have called it the gospel of Abraham or the gospel of Abraham's seed. But it's the same gospel. There was just less detail given about it at that point. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's us, guys. That's us. The heathen justified through faith. Amen. It says, he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He's saying that what's happening with us in the gospel of Christ is the fulfillment of the gospel that he preached to Abraham way back then and said, in thee, all nations of the earth would be blessed. That's an amazing thing. And Abraham didn't know all the details about this, but he believed God. The little bit that God gave him, he believed it. And it directed the course of his life. And we're going to see as we continue on in the book of Genesis, he continued taking one step after another in everything God told him to do. He was obedient. What's that when you take one step after another? What is that?
Walk.
It's walking. That's right. He walked with God, just like Enoch did before. All right, and so that's pretty much where we're gonna end up for today. Is just that they started off here in Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia. They left here. They went to Haran. That's where Abram's father Terah died. And then after that, is they eventually went down into the land of Canaan. That's where we'll pick it up next time. So that's it, and thanks for joining me for Sunday school.